Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, Original Flavor Wednesday.
Tasty.
A semi-weekly show where two old guys and one lady who is a little bit older than the both of us, but it looks much younger, much younger.
We're done.
I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and on Monday's episode, we talked a little bit about religion and church and stories, and I mentioned I had a plethora of stories.
Yes.
So this is one that's a little more, it's a better memory for me, but telling Meg about it, she just laughed her ass off hearing about it. But growing up, you had big church, which was in the sanctuary, and then you had children's church, where you went until you were like in seventh grade, maybe.
Okay.
And Miss Betty had done children's church for like, she still does it now, and she's like 85 or something like that. She's done it for like 40 years. So she's teaching us all her, I mean, she's, the older you are, the more antiquated your views on religion tend to be. So she's teaching children like, you know, sort of what was popular Southern Baptist in like the 40s or the 50s or things like that.
Oh, God.
And so she told us a whole lot. She, we had like one of those felt boards. And you would put, or you could put like a felt person on the board and then put stuff on them.
Okay.
So everybody in children's church had their own, it was a Roman soldier on this felt board.
Like paper dolls.
Yeah. Oh. Only they're just cloth. Yeah. They had them up there. And Miss Betty would tell us that the purpose of everything was to go and tell people about Jesus and get them to get saved. And the more people you got saved, the more treasures you would get in heaven. Like literal treasures, crowns, scepters, gold coins, and like the more layers would be on your mansion and things like that. So that's the whole purpose, is just to accumulate physical wealth in heaven.
Material goods.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, and whenever she would, every Sunday we would tell her about the people who we got saved, like who we talked to about it, and how, and then she would have like, she would, all the Roman soldiers with their names under them, she would decorate them. So we'd have crowns, scepters, armor, like comical ducktails, like piles of gold with like a dollar sign on them and things like that. Of course, we were like, how much treasure do you have in heaven, Miss Betty? And she just smiled. She was so rich in heaven. Oh, she's so rich. Oh, she's so rich.
Does it work like a pyramid scheme? Did she get more?
Pretty much, because then we worked for her, but because she told us, then she gets like 10% of that treasure.
And then you recommend a friend. And so you save a friend, he saves a friend.
And she's been doing this for so long. She's like, she's a billionaire in heaven. This fucking, yeah. And then she also told us, which my mother completely agrees with, that they didn't drink wine back in the biblical times. It was grape juice. They just called it wine back then. Mm-hmm. They didn't actually drink wine. Mm-hmm. Jesus never drank alcohol. Mm-hmm.
Jesus juice.
Yeah. Yeah. Both of which Meg finds to be, both of those to be just incredibly hilarious.
I don't, why? Does she not believe that?
She drinks wine just constantly. So.
Well, good thing she doesn't live in biblical times.
She started a blog before she went into seminary about her experiences going through like the process to become a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of her posts, she was talking about Jesus being like, the modern day depictions make him white and things like that, and really sexy. So she had the sexy Jesus picture of the week on her blog. And somebody in like Greece sent her a big message threatening to stone her. Like if she ever came to that part of the country, he would kill her, because one, she was a woman; two, that she was being blasphemous, saying these sexy pictures of Jesus.
Oh. Three, because she was blocking Facebook.
Yeah.
Wow. So she should start that up again. She should do the Sexy Jesus podcast.
Awesome. I'm done. I bet you can find it. I'll find, see if I can find it on the Wayback Machine awesome. And post it.
I want it for the show notes. I'm Dave, your bespectacled host. And of the many stories I could have told about Brandon when he was last on for Axelé, I should have told the story about us going to Memphis to get Eindog, because we mentioned in the show that Axelé is not 100% Eindog approved. I got Ein when Brandon and I were living together in Murray, and it all leads along to this understanding that, and I'm sure that by saying this on the show, I'm going to completely jinx myself and go ahead and wipe the board clean. I'm very good with law enforcement and talking to law enforcement.
Is that one of your mutant powers, dealing with cops?
I have gotten a ticket before. It was in Litchfield, and why I just completely discount that one occurrence. I've been pulled over numerous times, and there's one time that I've been pulled over. Let's go ahead and spoil who our guest host is, Nikki. She claims she was with me when it happened.
I was with you.
No, it was.
I can see the car myself.
No, it was listener John Turley who was, yeah. So I can't tell that story because if I do, we won't finish this episode because we've gotten into pretty long arguments about this. You weren't in the car.
Yes, I was with you. I vividly remember everything.
The time you were in the car.
Fabrication. It's called making up memories that you feel like you were there.
See, Tyler's certainly on my side. No. I got pulled over on the way to Memphis, blowing through because I was picking Eindog.
Blowing Brandon.
I got arrested in Memphis, just blowing
me,
people
just
on the
me
street.
Me and Brandon going to Memphis, got pulled over for blowing. I don't know.
Hey man, I'm saving up for dog. I'll give you a blowjob.
I know these two awesome porta potties that are tucked away right next to each other. But naturally, I got pulled over, blowing through a. Like a 25 mile per hour. You know how they have these like towns that just pop up on the fucking highway? Yeah. That's just like, wait, I'm in a town? What? I got pulled over, probably going 20 miles over. And so the cop pulls me over. I'm like, shit. He comes to the window. I roll it down. He says, do you know why I pulled you over? Yeah, I do. I'm sorry. I was speeding. I was probably going about 20 miles over. I'm going to pick up a puppy from Memphis. And he just kind of looks at me. And he was like, all right, slow it down out there, okay? And then there was that other
pretty
time.
Good.
Nikki, you were in the car.
There
with
are two
me for
times
this.
I was with you, and I know which one this is now.
I got pulled over for having a taillight out, and I'm driving. We were like, what? We had just crossed like the Tennessee border or something.
Yeah, we had gone south to get some beer.
Yeah. And we were.
Because the college we went to was in a dry county, so you had to cross the state line to buy beer.
They're spoiled now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were in Tennessee. We got pulled over. I think this was you, me, and John in the car. Uh-huh. And we were either going to a D&D game or coming home from a D&D game or something or other. And the cop pulls me over. It's dark. So he's got a flashlight. He comes up to to my window. I roll the window down. He's like, do you know why I pulled you over? I was like, literally, no. I have no idea. Why did you pull me over? It's like, you got a taillight out. Like, okay, thank you. I'll get that fixed. And then he starts shining the light in the car. I've got this Royal Crown bag sitting in my cup holder. And I see the light sway over that and stop. And he asks, what's in that bag? And I look up and I say, dice. And he goes, okay. Because I had my D&D dice in there. He was just like, there could have been anything in there. Dice. All right.
Weed.
I'm hoping he had to be a gamer then and just like understood. And then it's like a connection made. All right.
That's it. I could tell more. I could tell more cop stories, but I'm not going to. I'm glad that they tend to like me. I think they see a little bit. They see that lawful, neutral, just like I'm just covered with it. I'm lousy with lawful neutral, and they're just like, all right, we get this guy.
You see, I'm the opposite. I've only gotten out of one ticket and gotten pulled over many times. So they're like, oh, this guy reeks of chaos.
Next time, just pretend you're me. Seriously. It'll probably work wonders. We have a special guest host with us who thinks she was in the car with me when I got pulled over that one time. Since you did such a wonderful job on the Manpog episode, and you actually told a great story about a puzzle game playing Tetris with your grandmother.
Love that.
we're playing a puzzle game today, so I wanted to have you on the show.
Yay, thanks.
So who are you?
I am Nikki. Nikki Moore. Okay. I'm married to you. Dave Moore.
What's your moniker? How do they know you're our vagina host?
Yeah. Yeah. Duh. I got a pussy, y'all.
Keep that.
Yeah, that's it. If it's not in the regular show, that'll be the stinger.
To be honest, I didn't think of a story for this one.
Why not? I asked you to be on this a while ago.
I know, you had plenty of time to prepare. I'm going to piggyback off of both of your stories.
I normally piggyback off of it, so it's fine.
Because I have to, like, you know, mesh with you guys.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like fun. We'll leave the mics rolling. It'll be the most listened to episode. It's like the mesh episode, and then right below that, the one where Josh dies.
The one where Tyler weeps for 45 minutes.
No, Tyler, you watch.
Look at me. Look at me in the eyes.
Nana's dogs are barking in the background. It's just a horror show.
Oh, you guys are horrible.
I'm trying to give you more time.
No, I told you I'm going to piggyback off of both of you and just add to your stories.
Okay.
With my own.
Okay. So tell us about your treasures in heaven.
Not treasures in heaven, but the wine experience. Mm. I remember my first communion during an Easter Sunday was probably the third time I'd ever been to church. Mm-hmm. And I was...
What kind of church?
I don't know.
Where they had real wine or was it grape juice?
It was real wine.
Oh, okay.
But that...
So not Tyler's church.
No, yeah, we had little cups of grape juice for communion where I was. So.
I was like 10 or 12 and... They came around, and I expected it to be grape juice because I was a child.
Yeah.
And my brothers were both younger than me by 4 and 6 years. So they got grape juice, thought I should get grape juice. I took my sip and realized I was not drinking grape juice. And I was just like, I put my glass down and I looked over at my mom and I said, they gave me real wine. And she was like, just drink it. It's not that much. And I was like, okay, we're going to have a party now.
And thus began the cycle that ruined
it. It's like you lost all your treasures.
Yep.
It was actually a bar. It was not a church.
Every time you drink a beer or a sip of wine, yeah, Jesus takes away gold coins out of your
chest. Oh, seriously? Was that part of the thing?
No. Every time you sin.
It makes sense, though, Tyler, really, when you think about it.
It's like that Daffy Duck movie where he's the ghost inspector and he has that vault full of gold coins. And every time he like doesn't solve a case, some of the treasure disappears out of his vault.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
Bankrupt again.
Show notes.
Yep.
And then to back up onto your story, Dave, there are several being pulled over scenarios that I have also gotten out of. Two very wacky ones. One, I had just gotten my driver's license and went to take my youngest brother, Adam, somewhere, and his friend was at the house as well. My mom had taken the back seats out of the minivan and placed wicker furniture for the patio in there. So there was no seat belts, no seats for his friend at all.
Was this like to transport or was this just used as like...
To transport.
I was about to say, instead of seats, right. You just had wicker chairs. Yeah,
it's like, saying, you know what? I don't really like these chairs. Let's place some wicker furniture.
It's a nice... We're going to Wicker Mart to buy our car seats.
No, it was just a transport. But I wasn't thinking about it and went through the slow school zone and got pulled over by a cop. And he, I guess, saw that I was young and I was on the way back to the house. And he said nothing to me at all about the fact that there was a 7-year-old child in the back seat in wicker furniture with no seatbelt.
The quote-unquote back seat.
Yes. He just said, you know, you're going about 10 miles over the speed limit back there. You need to be careful and slow down. Okay. I was like, okay, thanks. And drove off and got home.
That's because he knew you were going to marry me one day.
Must have been. So that is me and some more of my fun facts.
And we can do a paywall episode where you and I argue for 2 hours about whether or not you were in the car that one
That's
time.
That's good. That's good.
Let's do it.
Because I've been part of an argument to where you claim to have been there and not been there, or vice versa.
It was probably the same argument. Yeah. This is the only argument we have. This is a serious argument that we have.
We rehash it every year just to get all of the other things out of our system.
Yeah. This year we're going to
pull all of our arguments into this one.
Mm-hmm. So what the fuck are we doing?
Well, since Original Flavor Wednesday, every Wednesday we talk about how we are playing through IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games and muse about our experiences.
I like that's a good idea for a show. We should do that.
Well, best at about like a 60-40 ratio of games to just buttholes.
Buttholes, yeah.
What about Guter wine, talk? Church, Guter talk, being pulled over, arguments.
What are we talking about this week?
Today, IGN's 54th ranked game, Bust a Move.
Bust a Move. Do you hear that? Do you hear what I hear? Leaving the station?
Yeah.
A little pain.
Apparently with the radio turned on really loud.
Little segment I like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Bust a Move is a 1989 single by the rapper Young MC. It won the 1990 Grammy Award for Best Rap Performance.
Didn't know that.
It appeared on his album, Stone Cold Rhymin', and was his biggest hit, reaching number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100 and topping the charts in Australia. So what did you guys think about Bust a Move?
I don't remember hearing any words to that music at all in the game.
I don't think I had heard music before like 1992, so this just totally wasn't on my radar.
I don't understand why this is on IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games. But I'll roll with it.
He gave a whole lot to IGN. He's one of their angel investors.
He's a founding member of IGN. Well, there's also this video game. This video game. It's called Puzzle Bobble. I don't know. In Japanese, it's actually, this is gonna sound super racist, but it's Puzzaru Babaru.
Puzzaru Babaru.
Paul Kluel actually asked that in the future when I do Japanese titles that I do them angrily.
Okay.
So
that works.
Puzzaru Babaru. There we go.
There you go.
I got all the racists out of me for today. We can move on.
Hopefully when we play a German game, that'll come in handy because you have to sound angry for that too.
Well, we'll get Zach for that. It's also known as Bust a Move over here. I don't know why they changed the name.
Yeah.
I like to think that they were trying to piggyback on the song. I don't know.
When did the song come out?
The song came out, what?
89.
90? 89, 90?
Okay.
This came out in
94.
It's a tile-matching arcade puzzle video game for one or two players. Created by Taito Corporation.
Nice.
It is based on Tyler and Nikki. Taito's popular 1986 arcade game, Bubble Bobble.
That all makes much more sense.
So that's it. It's really popular in Japan. That's what it says here. I believe it, I guess.
See, when I saw this on the list, I remember Jacob, when we were in college, Jacob would play a rhythm dancing game all the time. It was either like Bust a Groove.
Yes.
This must have been like before it.
I remember
not expect this game at all.
I remember playing Bust a Groove at a girl's house only because I thought we were going to make out afterwards. That's my experience with Bust a Groove.
Your groove is not busted properly.
Nothing was busted that night.
Virginity Joe! I wish I had the radio announcer, the Beavis Whaler, whatever.
We could set that up, man. We could even mess with the soundboard. We'll make this a total morning zoo show.
I think I had the same thought process when Dave said what you were playing for this episode. I was like, "Bust a Move. You want me to dance? All right, let's dance."
No, it's dinosaurs with an arrow cannon firing bubbles in a small confined space.
Dinosaurs with siege weapons. What else?
Yeah, Bust a Move.
Did either of you ever play this game when you were kids?
Nope.
No.
I didn't play Bubble Bobble until you bought it for me. So
I love Bubble Bobble. That's one of my favorite arcade stand-ups, and I never can seem to find it. So if anyone listening out there has a Bubble Bobble arcade stand-up and wants to give it to me, that'd be great. Yeah, Nikki sighs because we already have two
and where arcade stand-ups. Them?
And yeah, we don't know where to put them.
They look fine in the living room. Right.
I played Bust a Move in a computer class in high school because some lovely soul installed an emulator and Bust a Move on the computer in the back. And that's where I always sat. And I played that every day because I already knew everything they were teaching in this computer class until I finally got to the point where I was like, this game is fun, but you know what also is fun? Ultima Online. I'm going to go ahead and install that. So that's when nice. I quit playing Bust a Move.
It's a slight change of pace.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Like for a week you played Bust a Move?
Yeah, it wasn't very long, honestly. And I really like the game, and I still do, spoilers, playing it this week. I had a lot of fun. I played it more recently than I have Ultima Online, so that's saying something.
It stood the test of time.
How is this game different than other puzzle games? Because we've talked about Kirby's Avalanche before, and we've mentioned Tetris several different times. What makes Bust a Move different, other than its clear hip-hop roots?
I feel like it makes a lot more sense to me. It's a more cohesive puzzler than Kirby's Avalanche.
How do you mean?
During Kirby's Avalanche, it felt like it barely held together for me. It felt like the elements uncreative people just kind of made a puzzle game that I didn't feel rolled very effectively. It wasn't smooth mm-hmm. or made a lot of sense. Like Tetris makes, perfect sense.
Right.
And this game was just, it was the theme, the simplicity, it was much better. Like I sat down and I got it. It was more faster paced, my brain just wrapped around it a lot better than Kirby's Avalanche.
It is a little more intuitive, I think, because all you're doing is matching colored bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
You like you said, you've got this ballista that you aim and launch a colored bubble at other colored bubbles, and if they match,
three of them match. Yeah, they disappear.
And then what's interesting is you can kind of do a Kirby's Avalanche thing where you create a trigger. You can construct your bubble to where if you shoot one green bubble at it, they all come apart mm-hmm. and you earn crazy points.
I don't know.
Disagree?
I kind of placed it alongside Bejeweled kind of games.
Okay.
Because the strategy was the same of getting a certain number of the same color to remove them. I think because we played more of the verses rather than I played single player, mm-hmm. it was a different game entirely because of not understanding how the scoring worked, how you mounted up to destroy the other person. And
I can show you how to mount up if you want.
This is not air talk.
They already know he's damaged his penis through vigorous lovemaking.
Yeah, I did tell that story, so it's fine.
And you've already clarified the equipment you have. So.
Right.
They know he's not talking about me this time.
Right. At this particular moment. I didn't mean to derail you. I'm sorry.
It's gone now.
Bejeweled. You were talking about Bejeweled, which I haven't played since I played World of Warcraft.
I've never played Bejeweled.
I barely remember Bejeweled. How was it similar?
Instead of like shooting another ball, uh-huh. as in Bust a Move, it's set up as a full screen of gems, and you get to rotate adjacent pieces.
That's right.
So you line up, so you make like the Tetris line.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It'll delete and bomb out a whole line or
columns and rows of colors.
You're right. That is
the Candy Crush,
which I haven't played. I know Tyler's a big fan.
I was.
Oh no, not anymore.
I got burnt out of it. I got 120 something levels in, and just like
you're much further than I ever got.
How does it compare?
Meg's way further than I am. So
does it? Is there any comparison between Candy Crush and Bust a Move? Like, are there similarities there?
I get in the sense that you're trying to match at least three of the same pieces, but in Candy Crush, the screen is filled and you're just swapping.
Oh, okay. So it's more like Bejeweled then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although I feel like it's geared to make you spend money.
Yeah.
So.
No dinosaurs.
It will be impossible a lot of the time unless you spend money.
No, there is a dinosaur in a lemonade lake.
Oh, okay. Well, are there
towards the beginning because I've only gotten like to level 26 or something.
Are there siege engines?
I don't know. I bet there could be.
In some kind of militaristic candy encampment, I'm sure there is.
All right. I haven't played this game, and maybe I should start because I like dinosaurs, I like siege engines, and I like spending money. So this sounds perfect.
I bet I spent $4 total on Candy Crush, and I'm done. Like, I would take, only under the influence of Ambien would I ever spend money on Candy Crush. So even if when I spent money, I still didn't finish the level.
Oh, because you're ambient out?
Well, yeah, I didn't have the mental perception to be able to do it. Plus, it just, you spend a dollar and get like three more moves, but it's all completely randomized. So you just may still not happen.
They should take Busta Move and apply the really shitty pay model to it.
That's actually some really good money mongering.
Yeah. I know they have to make shit tons.
Only a dollar. Yeah, and you're like, it's three moves. That's great.
I can finish in three moves. Nope.
Well, shit. Let's try that again.
Well, in Busta Move, because you'll have the box with the bubbles in it.
Yeah, you've got a box that's full of bubbles already, pretty much.
And if any part of the bubble will stick to any other part of the bubble. So it's not like straight up and down lines and columns and rows.
Right.
It can be off center or whatever. Just whatever slightly, it will stick.
Yes.
And I guess, if you go from bottom up, you'll just do small bubbles at a time. If you were able to bank a shot off the side, because the shots will bounce off until they hit another bubble.
Right. And then it'll stick.
Hit the upper tiers and then cutting grapes from up high, all the ones below it will fall.
So, you're doing the motions for cutting, and I thought cutting testicles.
Castrating men.
You know how when you're really horny and you don't want to be anymore? It's like that. You just cut them. You just
dangle them over. Yep, and they fall just like the bubbles and bust a move.
That they never tell you this because they don't sell as well, but that's really why garbage disposal were invented. But I like that you saying that you want to cut as close to the top as you can, mm-hmm. because when you do that, anything below that that's connected is like a bunch of grapes going to fall mm-hmm. and you'll clear.
Mm-hmm.
The end goal is to clear the screen,
mm-hmm.
Much like Tetris.
Yep. And the color you get is randomized.
Right.
And then I feel like closer to the end, it's randomized depending on what color is left. Because I feel like closer to the end, when you only have like two or three, you'll only get those two or three colors.
Yeah. You were saying that, Nikki, when we were playing, that it was kind of like a fail-safe?
Yeah. Like, because always the last color that was attached to the roof or ceiling would be what just came through every ball.
Because so it would be awful.
You have to win instead of the ceiling coming down and you running out of the color you need. So at least there's the advancement guarantee as long as you can get up that far.
Yeah. Any bubble, because as you're playing, you have the ceiling slowly coming down. Any bubble that crosses the line where the two dinosaurs are operating the siege weapon, then you lose.
Game over. Yeah. They get dizzy.
Oh, bubbles.
They get dizzy. Too many, far too many bubbles.
But I felt like my only... An issue was that you have the siege weapon that has an arrow that points. Sometimes if you lose a level, the next stage you'll have an arrow of dots kind of showing you where your shot's going to go. But the arrow is much smaller than the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So I had all the time where I thought I could make a shot only for it to get stuck as soon as I fire it. Because mm-hmm. it doesn't give you a good representation of how big this shot is going to be and where the bubbles can fit.
Yeah. I like the shooting aspect because I think that's really cool. Something that I haven't really seen in puzzle games is like they kind of take a puzzle game, like it's got a really strong basis as a puzzle game, but then they add this shooting mechanic that actually takes an independent skill. Like you have mm-hmm. to be able to aim it and shoot it where you want it to go. I like that mix. And then it also has this kind of like pool or billiards feel you were talking mm-hmm. about because you... Some shots you bank off the sides of the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of really have to get a feel of, okay, how is the angle of this shot going to work? What can I angle it in?
And I feel like, I don't know, if they wanted to encourage you to take trickier shots because the bank shots landed where I wanted them to far more often than just a straight shot trying to fit it somewhere. I would always fuck up a straight shot, but it seemed like a bank shot 80% of the time would land where I wanted it to.
I didn't have as much luck with the bank shots. No. I am horrible at pool unless I'm drunk. I was horrible at lunar pool. I was never drunk playing lunar pool. I was far too young.
You always play lunar pool when you come home from church.
I was horrible at church unless I was drunk.
That is true. I can contest that I am horrible at church unless I am drunk.
I played only the single player. I never played the co-op because you sit down, you turn it on, and you just start up. And then you can play through level after another, and it's basically the same formula. There are a few power-up items, like the electric orb that will clear from one side.
Please, Tyler. The electric bubble.
Electric bubble. You're right.
Come on.
You're right.
The orb.
That
is silly.
After a Pokemon, like the Electabuzz, Voltorb. Yeah.
I was about to say, I don't know why they haven't remade this for Pokemon, but I know the reason why, and that's because they would get sued. Yeah, there's the electric bubble. There's a water bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And
fire.
Oh, yeah. The explosive
one. Mm-hmm.
Those are the only ones I encountered.
Me too. Yeah. I know those are from Bubble Bobble. Like, those are special bubbles that are in the platforming game. I don't think they really translated well into a puzzle game.
Yeah.
I think that depends on what the item was and which level you were in.
Uh-huh.
Because I thought they did a really good job of incorporating those pieces into solving the how do you get it done as quickly as you can, because that was a goal too.
There was always like a trick. Yeah, the quicker you solved it, the more points you got, and the more points you would get one-ups, because lives were scarce. You only had like 4, I think.
Yeah.
And you can easily fuck up a few times, and then you just have to start all over again.
Yeah, they're pretty forgiving in that they give you a password when you run out of lives. Mm. But when you enter that password in, you can pick up where you left off, where you last lost your last life. But I think they only give you one life. So it's kind of like, you at this point, you're kind of army crawling through the rest of the game.
Yeah. Ugh.
We actually, Nikki and I, we played a lot of Versus. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot more time playing that than I did the single player.
I imagine it was a lot more entertaining.
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I really had a lot of fun. And there is a version on iOS that I'm thinking about getting if they have head-to-head. Because I'm going to keep playing it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ideas.
Are there individual levels on co-op, or is it just a straight head-to-head, one kind of style head-to-head, and then that's it?
It's pretty much the one style head-to-head, but you have like any versus, it's up to 3 matches, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Best 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
And they've got, I do have a gripe, as much fun as it was playing against you, my gripe is that the level never changes. Like the screen, the stage never changes. It's always the same background. So that got kind of old.
Yes.
The music got kind of old.
Yeah, because it's just that one song, isn't it?
It's the one song. The game has 2 songs, I think. It has an intro song, and then it has the song.
Oh, God. Because I thought so, like the cutesy, and I was like, after, because it has 100 levels in single player, I got 35-ish. And yeah, I was just like, the background would change every now and then.
Yeah.
And then just the cutesy kind of MIDI file just never changed.
Yeah, and I don't know if that was a callback to Bubble Bobble, because the music never changes in that game, but I think there are some things that you want to change.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
To keep interest, especially.
Because that's what I had fun with it. I thought it was entertaining. It made sense as a puzzle game, but like, it couldn't hold my attention very long. I would have liked like every 10 levels for there to have been like a boss level or something different. But it was just the placement of the bubbles would change a little bit depending on what they wanted you to do. But I mean, it was pretty much just the same thing over and over and over again. I couldn't stick through 100 levels of it. It was fun, but it got old pretty quickly.
I think the Versus really shines. Like, I think that is more fun than the single player, easily. Because I know, Nikki, you and I played Versus for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. We played a lot.
And then we started messing around with the handicap, actually, too, because in Versus...
his name is Earl. We got bored. We brought Earl into the situation.
Nikki, go wake up Burl.
I'm ready to spice this up.
He knows what colors are, right?
But I don't need someone to outpace me. Bring in the handicap guy.
Oh, shit. No, there's a handicap scale in the game, Tyler. Where you can adjust for different skill levels. It's something I never fuck with. Like, they're always in fighting games, and I never fuck with them because I never know how they work. Like, if I choose higher, does that make it harder for me or harder for the opponent? I never know.
Yeah.
There's this cool design element in Bust a Move where they actually have a
Bub
portrait.
And Bob.
Yeah, there's Bub, who's the green dinosaur, and Bob, who's the blue dinosaur. And
I never saw a blue dinosaur. Oh, they were both green.
I don't think the blue one comes into effect unless you're versus. Is right.
Oh, okay.
But that's the direct from Bubble Bobble.
Yeah.
Okay. Bub and Bob.
Bubberoo and Babaroo.
Babaroo.
But they have portraits, right? They're facing off, and they both look angry. But if you adjust the handicap meter, which is 1 through 5, if you put it on 5... the portrait looks very anxious. So it's like very clear, okay, this is making it harder for me.
Okay.
And if you put it on 1, it's like they're like looking at a butterfly or something. So it's like, okay, this is going to be a lot easier.
I can dig that. I like that.
Yeah, with as much fun as we had doing the verses, I think because of doing the verses first, I had a harder time transitioning into the single player and came up with quite a few gripes about that.
What are your gripes about single player?
Single player gripes would be that you don't have the director beam to assist you in learning through the first couple of levels how to transition to do the bank shots and get those angles down. Because, again, I'm not a pool player. I don't have...
Unless you're drunk.
Unless you're drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, unless I'm drunk. I don't
you're
have
like
the
Popeye.
Mathematical equation
just
in my
Nikki
head
with
for
with a bottle of bourbon. Just pops it open. It comes out of the bottle and into her mouth. She's just amazed. She's...
I'm a pool shark, really. Oh, goodness gracious.
I haven't played pool like this since church.
I did not like the fact that as you were going through, I don't know how it decides when the roof starts to drop, whether it's based on your point level or
I think it's a certain
a magic
amount of
number
time.
Of shots or time, but... as soon as it starts shaking, you throw every chance of a shot that you have out the door because it's going to land in an odd place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
because the whole
fucked.
Level's shaking, which means the bubbles are shaking, which means it's really hard to land your shots.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. And then I know there's more, but I'm really angry about that one right now because that's normally what screwed me up to the point that I would die.
We didn't even know that was in the game, honestly, that little trajectory meter. I'll just call it a ghost trajectory.
Yeah.
Because it's not in versus mode at all.
Mm-mm.
So it was weird going over to first player. And whenever you lose a life, they kind of throw you a bone. And they're like, all right, we're going to show you. We're going to show you the trajectory of your shot before you do it.
For one round.
For one round, yes. And then you're on your own again.
So how do you feel this game compared to the original?
They're completely different.
Completely different?
Completely different. Other than there's the two dinosaurs, Bubberoo and Babaroo, and involves bubbles. And I don't know if you noticed. Someone who's not familiar with Bubble Bobble probably wouldn't understand that in the bubbles are enemies. Like, did you realize that?
No.
That's why they're different colors, because the red bubbles have a red enemy in them. And a purple bubble has a purple enemy in them. And when they pop, you can see them kind of fall out. Did you notice that, Nikki?
Yes, but that made me just click in my head and register that when your bubbles drop past that line where the dinosaurs are sitting there with the siege machine to shoot them, it's probably that it popped on one of the dinosaurs and now they're in battle.
And ate it.
Mm-hmm. No, because he's dizzy. He's knocked unconscious.
They're getting ready to be eaten.
Okay, maybe.
Quite frankly, he's stunned.
Yeah. He drops all weapons held.
That's the thing. Like, it kind of says something like that I wanted more. I wanted the formula to change. I wanted things to be different for me to be entertained by this game as compared to, like, Tetris, where I can't say that. I'm totally fine with exactly how Tetris is. right now. I don't need anything different from texture.
Yeah, you're so constantly like, advancing, like, and you that's know the perfect
puzzle game. I don't want it to change. This was just like an imperfect. It's good, but it's just kind of an imperfect puzzle game because you just want more. There's the formula in and of itself isn't continually entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of agree with that. I don't think as a puzzler alone it holds up to Tetris, but like I said,
it is a high bar to set for.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, Tetris is the quintessential video game tile matching puzzler, but it doesn't have, like, I like that this has certain elements that no other puzzle game I've played has, where, you know, you're, it has elements of a shooter and it has elements of pool and billiards and stuff like that. So I mean, I see why it's on the list, and I actually I agree that this game should be on the list and probably in the 50s.
I'm with you.
I would play it. I would totally play it again. Would you play it with me?
Yes. I mean, I've already wasted 6 hours doing
wasted
it. Yeah, I mean, it flew by and felt like maybe 15 all minutes, right. But
all right, I see.
That's why I would say it's wasted, because I didn't realize it had passed.
Okay.
But I felt like it was refreshing to be able to sit down, turn a game on, and then just be able to play.
Yeah, that's true.
And just play through, not have to stop and wait, and it flowed very well. Like, it was nice just to be able to sit down and immediately play a game until I was done with it.
Yeah.
That being said, like, I don't think Super Nintendo is the optimal platform for this game. So, like, I would have much rather played this on Game Boy Color.
Oh, you can. Or
it's on Game Boy Color?
Dude, this game, like, they released this fucking game on anything. Like, okay. I mean, I can pull up the full list if you'll give me a minute.
Like, I think this would be great on, especially like on mobile games now. I think this would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the only thing, the only problem that I see is that, for instance, I would have already bought the version that's on iOS, but nowhere can I find if they have head-to-head multiplayer from different devices. And it's like, it's $5, which if they have head-to-head multiplayer, is worth it. I'm going to spend $10, we'll install it on Nikki's phone, and we'll install it on mine. But if it doesn't have head-to-head, we're just going to have like a 20-minute distraction.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
and that's it.
But Game Boy Color with the link cable, I think would have been interesting to see with this game, if that was an option, if that's out there.
There are 28 iterations of Bust a Move. The original, which we played for the Super Nintendo. There is a Puzzle Bobble 2, which is Bust a Move 2 in Europe, and Bust a Move again in North America. There's a Puzzle Bobble 2X, which is a holiday theme. Puzzle Bobble, so they were like way ahead of the Angry Birds curve. There's a Puzzle Bobble 3, a 4, a Puzzle Bobble Mini on the Neo Geo Pocket Color.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
There's a Super Puzzle Bobble. They don't tell me what this is. There's an Azumanga Puzzle Dio, which is a spinoff of the Azumanga Dio. I think it's an anime, maybe a manga as well. Let's see. Puzzle Bobble Mobile on various mobile devices.
Okay.
There was a version on the N-Gage.
Yeah, in 2003. Oh, the N-Gage.
There's a version on PlayStation Portable. There is an Xbox version. There's a DS version.
Okay, there we go.
There is a Wii version, just a regular mobile phone version. There's another DS version. There's a WiiWare version. There's an iOS version, a 3DS version.
Fuck.
And they're currently, it looks like they're working on Puzzle Bobble Online.
An MMO experience.
Right.
Wow.
So,
where's our Vita support? Why is it on Vita? God.
Because nothing is on Vita, Tyler, except for Persona Gold.
Bust a Move. That's all I got to say about it, for the most part.
Yeah, I feel like I've talked a whole lot. Don't need to talk more about it. What do you say? Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you have achievements?
Achievements?
Do you have achievements for this game?
I do. I have two.
What are our achievements?
Let's see. 8-ball corner pocket.
Okay.
Which is to complete an 8-bubble string with a bank shot.
Nice. Mm. That's difficult. That's a difficult achievement.
Purple Rain. Finish a level with a purple combination.
Okay. I think it's interesting that you and I have very similar achievements.
Well, there's not a whole lot of way we can spin this.
This is what I've got. Bustin' makes me feel good. Clearly, I was prepared for this episode. You have to pop 2,368 purple bubbles. The purple bubbles contain the ghosts.
Mm.
And the last four digits of the Ghostbusters phone number was 2368.
Oh, that's a deep rabbit hole. That's good. That's good.
I also have an achievement called Like You Was Poindexter, in which you clear an entire level using only wall shots.
Okay.
Nikki.
I has no achievements.
You better make one up, I guess. No pressure. No pressure.
Think of one. Think of one.
I can't.
Think of one.
You can do it.
I can't. Because while you guys were saying your achievements, I just was singing songs in my head. Because that's what your achievements made me think of.
Okay. Yeah, I had some very musical achievements.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Grand champion, bust a move. You get to hear the whole song and play on a different level altogether.
So play until the song ends?
Yeah.
Wow. 'Cause
it's just a really long song, and we haven't made it there yet.
I like that theory a lot.
It's a 60-hour song.
Jesus. Because when I was playing the game...
And you have to do it with no continues.
When I was playing the game, the song didn't bother me at all. But when I was in another room earlier today and you were playing it, I was like, oh my God, I feel like my dad because like I'm about to lose my mind because I've been hearing this song for 3 hours. And it's just like, turn it off. We haven't done a segment in a long time, in a very long time. So I hope you two are ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little segment that I like to call Where Are They Now?
Yay.
So I have to ask you, Taito Corporation, Tyler, where are they now?
I wager they are still around and probably do more handheld titles.
Okay. I think that's pretty solid. I have a bonus question for you both that I'll ask later. Nikki.
Oh, later.
Nikki, right now.
In the now. Okay.
Where do you think Taito Corporation is?
Well, obviously they're still around if they've got so many new versions of Bubble Bubble Out.
I totally screwed the pooch on that one.
They're making tons of money. Mm. So I have, even though I'm your wife and your friend, I do not know enough about games. And I'm going to go a different route and say that they're making fortune cookies. Just because it's fun.
Okay.
Pachinko machines would have also been acceptable.
Oh. Man, so many gaming companies exclusively make pachinko machines now. It's very lucrative. You are both very right. They're still around. You're wrong, Nick. You're right in the sense that they're still around. I like the look of surprise on your face. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mislead you. They don't make fortune cookies. They actually... still make video games, but then they still exist, but they were bought out by a larger company. So for the first bonus point, can either of you name the company that purchased them?
EA.
Again, I don't know much, so I don't know any names.
Just pick one. Just pick one out of the blue.
Sony.
Okay. Square. Oh. Square Enix bought Taito. And Taito kept the name, and they still do their own thing, but they're under Square, the Square umbrella.
Yep. Square takes their cut, and they can push into more Final Fantasies and cut their writing staff and hire more designers.
Besides Bubble Bobble, I like this. I like this quiz show. And it's also getting dark in this room because I don't have lights, so it's like very dramatic. Besides Bubble Bobble and Bust a Move, what do you think is the best known Taito game?
The Lufia series? No, Atlas makes Lufia.
I'll give you a hint. This is a very old game, and it is...
Pong.
Okay, it's not that old, but it's close.
Missile Command. No.
That's closer.
Galaga.
That's very close. Space Invaders.
Mm.
Yep. They developed Space Invaders.
Okay. So they're good. They're good.
So yeah, they're good.
Another 100 years.
Yeah, I mean, all that Space Invaders money.
Yeah.
Which I know a new iteration of Space Invaders also comes out like on every gaming platform in some form or another. That's all I got.
That's all I got, Nikki.
I got nothing else.
Okay.
Nana's dogs really have a lot to say.
Yeah. Well, we love Boss Number.
Don't you talk about Square Enix.
Release on dog. Time to release it on dog.
On Doge. So colors.
Wait, I can't see colors.
I think dogs can see three colors.
I know they can see blue, or so. Yeah. I don't know. Like, scientists are always like, that. Dogs can see blue. And I'm always like, all right, I can't really contest that. So they can see blue, I guess.
But how did they
Marques,
know?
Nicola, Impresario, Tony. What colors can dogs see?
Please call in. What's wrong with your face, Tyler?
It's itchy.
Yeah?
It's itchy.
I heard something about something on your face. Tyler, you really need to keep your beard. You don't want to lose your wife.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, I would keep that. I like to think if you ever shave it, you're just invisible. Meg is just like calling everybody. Have you seen Tyler? There's just this strange man in my house.
So now I'm just going to take out a big life insurance policy on her and then shave my beard.
I think they've done something to him to harm him. His beard is laying in the sink.
Someone has taken like saffron and thrown it all over the kitchen floor.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a beard that encapsulates exactly what Bust a Move is and what it means to you and what it means to the future generations of this world, what kind of beard would you give it and why?
Well, I would have to give it two sort of sleepy and lethargic bearded dragons.
Okay. Is one dragon a blue dragon?
Yes.
And the other one is red.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because they killed the green dragon.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Gone. Just red and blue.
Because he
dogs can only see one of them.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, what kind of glasses do you think that would be?
Are you familiar with the D&D monster and Shakespearean lore, hags?
I am familiar.
A coven of hags.
Yes.
And they share one eye that they hold up and look through, much like a pair of glasses, with one lens.
To divine, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I give this a hag's eye.
Okay.
Mm. So like it's useful, but I mean, it's only good whenever multiple people are in on it to share it.
So Bust a Move equals Shakespeare. Got it.
Yep. Now that's all I got.
Now we can end the show.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode. We'll be talking about, well, whatever for Other Ship Monday. Mm-hmm. But the next Original Flavor Wednesday will be IGN's 53rd ranked game, Breath of Fire 2.
Okay.
I expect Matt Barger to call in on that episode.
If Matt wants to sit in for me, he can. I don't really feel like playing all of that game.
Because we've played a lot of JRPGs.
Mm-hmm.
What's Breath of Fire Square?
I think it's Capcom.
Capcom?
I believe it's Capcom, which is really just rubs me the wrong way. I don't know. I'm already at full bristle.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Give the show a 5-star rating. Write a review. We love it.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff happens.
Yeah. As long as it's an honest 5-star review.
Mm-hmm. We're not thanking anybody because today's not that kind of day.
Because we're not thankful.
Mm-mm.
Not on Wednesdays.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Don't worry, guys. We will be back next week, just like Tyler said. In the meantime, if you can't get enough Tadpog in your system, there's plenty of it over at tadpog.com. There's also, we've got a Facebook page at facebook.com/tadpog. Who knows? I might take photographs of Nana's dogs and post them on there this week.
Yeah.
I might. Dare me, Tyler.
Tag Corey on it.
Our intro song, Nikki.
Yes, Dave. That is Moves by Sycamore Drive.
Okay, you're jumping the gun a little bit.
I'm sorry.
You're way too proud that you know this. Where can they find that track?
It'll be in the show notes.
Where are the show notes?
Tadpog.com.
How do you feel about being so much better than Brandon at that?
Mm-hmm.
I feel amazing because I'm your wife. If I don't know that on the jump, I'm in trouble.
All right. So in the middle of the night, I'm going to wake you up and ask where you can find Sycamore Drive Moves.
And I'll be like, shut up and go to bed.
I think we forgot it Monday. Oh, we have a phone number.
We do have a phone number. Yeah, I'm really bad at giving it out because, first of all,
we hoard it.
You should write it on this paper.
That's a really good idea. Yep. I'm going to do it right now.
It's a good idea.
Because then when people like Meg and I come in to do a show, we could read it off as well.
You'll just be like, what is this strange number at the top of this paper?
It's on both of their sheets of paper.
I guess if I ever want to call this paper, I dial this number.
For a good time, call.
For a good time, call 270-883-2555 and ask for the handicap Earl.
That really is a simple number to remember.
Okay.
Well, if you think about it, it's just four digits.
I picked it out of all the Google Voice numbers because it was the easiest. Still have not been able to memorize it. Still to this day.
You should have made it say Tadpog.
Who can memorize a number pound these Tadpog days? Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nope. I remember that being, somebody had a Facebook post about like 30 skills the older generation had that we don't, and one of them being the ability to memorize phone numbers.
Yeah, I sure as hell can't do it. I can, just because, like Brandon was saying the other day, you've had it forever.
Yep.
That's what I was going to say. I still know my Aunt Janet's phone number because it's never changed. I know my mom's home phone number.
Let's go ahead and give that to the listeners.
No. We don't want to see the wrath of Aunt Janet come down upon anyone's head in this room.
Damn it, Janet.
I love you. Damn it, Janet. I love
you. That's the show, huh?
Yep.
All right. Well, until next week, then.
Tropical Capricorn. Boom, 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 boom